This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. If you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. This program is on the website, and I have a weekly meditation on the website. If you'd like to leave me comments or prayer requests, you can contact me either way. So if you would like the address of the website or my mailing address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going to continue our journey through Luke chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 5 through 12, Luke 21, verses 5 through 12. The last time we were looking at a woman who made a sacrifice for the temple. And the Lord had taken note of this woman's sacrifice, even though she had given a very small amount in an absolute way. She had given a very sacrificial amount from the standpoint of what she had. And the Lord appreciated it because it showed her devotion not only to the temple, but her devotion to the Lord himself. And I'm convinced that the Lord really did appreciate the heart attitude of that woman. Many people today give, but they give out of duty. This woman gave out of devotion. Many people today give out of their bounty. She gave all that she had. She gave sacrificially. And when we look at her, we see a woman who truly was devoted to the Lord. But now we're going to look at this temple that she actually made a very significant donation toward, and we're going to see that it's going to be destroyed. And of course, this is something that the Jews simply could not comprehend because it was a very substantial, beautiful, mammoth building. So Luke 21 and verse 5 says, "Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, 'These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.' The destruction of the temple occurred in AD 70 when Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem. And it's my understanding that because of the gold in the temple, they did completely destroy every stone, tearing it apart so that they could get at all the gold that had been in that temple. I know the gold had adorned the doors. I've never been absolutely sure whether the gold adorned the outside walls, but it was certainly gold on the inside walls. And so every stone was torn down, and this was fulfilled. There is no doubt that the Lord knew what he was talking about when he predicted this. Now, verse 7 says, "So they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, but when will these things be? And what will be the sign, or what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?'" Now, when they ask that question, it's clear in their mind that the destruction of the temple and the end of the dispensation or the Lord's return must be together. They must be a concept that are not separated in their minds. But when the Lord answers this, and when we look at history, we can see that the destruction of the temple took place in AD 70, and the rest of this prophecy has probably not been completely fulfilled. Well, I believe it's not been completely fulfilled yet today. So the way the question is asked and the way it's answered might leave some confusion in their mind. We have to ask the question, because the temple was destroyed, just as the Lord said here, then are the rest of the things we're going to read about fulfilled at that time, or are they going to be fulfilled in a future period? And my answer to that is that I believe they're going to be fulfilled in a future period, a period that is that represents the wrath of God on this earth. So again, we're going to read from verse 7. "So they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?'" Remember, the Jews need a sign. The Gentiles need wisdom or logic. "And he said, 'Take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, what is the lesson here for us? Has this happened, or is it happening, or is it going to happen? Now, I believe that the lesson for us is, first of all, that from the standpoint of believers today, we don't know when these things are going to be fulfilled. I do not believe that that the things that are happening in the world today are the actual fulfillment of these prophecies. We're getting a lot of teaching that while it may not be the fulfillment of the prophecies, it's the birth pangs that are associated with the rebirth of Israel. And so, in some sense, there is the fulfillment of prophecy here. But as I've read the scriptures, in my mind, we have to be careful, because I believe that if I had lived when Hitler was alive, I would have believed that Hitler was the man of sin, and that the persecution of the Jews at that time fulfilled these prophecies. It didn't. I believe that we live in what's called the Day of Grace or the Church Age. And I believe prophecy, as it's found in the Old Testament and as it's associated with the kingdom and the coming of the Lord, that prophecy is basically associated with the Jewish people. It's prophecies associated with the land, the Jewish people, and their earthly promises. When the Lord stood up in Luke chapter 4 and preached the acceptable year of the Lord and closed the book, that book is not opened again till we get to Revelation chapter 6 and the Lord in heaven, who is as a lamb that had been slain, is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. And those seals began unloosing the wrath of God upon a Christ-rejecting world. And I do believe there's a calendar given to us in Daniel chapter 9 that makes it quite clear that there's going to be a 7-year period, starting with the signing of a peace treaty with a person, probably an apostate Christian out of the old Roman Empire, and ending with the Lord returning to set up his kingdom. There's going to be a 7-year period that's called the tribulation period. Some have felt the first part of that period will be a time of relative calm, and the last part of that will be a time of terrible tribulation such as we've never seen. But the whole period is called in Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 30, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And so these prophecies are really Jewish prophecies. This destruction of the temple, yes, that occurred during the church age, but it was not a prophecy connected with the church. It was a prophecy connected with the Jews. When it comes to the church, we know that we're told by Paul that perilous times will come, and men will be proud boasters. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of God, a form of religion, and denying the power thereof. We know that there is a deterioration in terms of faithfulness on the part of the church as we look at the church age. We see that in Revelation 2 and 3 as the church is described, because in Revelation 3 we end up at the church of Laodicea, who thinks that they're rich and in fact they're poor, who think they see when in fact they're blind, and the Lord says they're lukewarm, they are not hot, so they don't satisfy the thirst of one who needs to be cooled off, and they're not cold, so they don't satisfy the thirst of one who needs a cold drink. They don't satisfy anyone, and they don't satisfy the Lord. So we know that we are told about conditions in the church, but when it comes to the wars, the rumors of wars, when it comes to the wrath of God on this earth, that's connected with the Jews. So in my opinion, and I am willing to let the Lord do this some other way if he wants to. I don't argue with that. I just that, in my opinion, the things that are discussed in this chapter deal with the end, and it's the end of this age before the Lord sets up his millennial kingdom, and the end of this age is going to be that seven-year period called the tribulation period, the seven-year period when the wrath of God is poured out on this earth in order to make those who crucified the Lord, Jews and Gentiles alike, recognize that the one they crucified and mocked as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they mocked him as King of the Jews, was in fact who he claimed to be. And people as nations will have to repent and believe in the Lord before the Lord establishes his millennial kingdom, just as people individually need to do that today. And so, in order to be ready for all of this coming judgment, we need to be saved. We need to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. We need to have our sins forgiven. And so, when we ask when, we have to say we don't know. But we do know that we're to beware of deception. And there's going to be all kinds of lies in these last days. And today, if you're a person who is religious and not saved, you can find somebody who will tell you what you want to believe and salve your conscience so that you don't really have to deal with your sin and come to Christ for salvation and to Christ alone. But the only way you can be sure you're going to be delivered from the wrath to come, as the Thessalonians were, is if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." But if we go back in John 3 and verse 17, we find out that God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So how can you be sure that you're going to be worthy, be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass? There's only one way, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we do see things happening today that are like the things in this passage. But that doesn't mean that that's the fulfillment of these things. It just makes us realize how quickly the fulfillment could take place. And if the things happening today are not the fulfillment of these things, how much more severe must the destruction be when the actual wrath of God is being poured out on a Christ-rejecting earth? The Lord created us. The Lord loved us. The Lord gave himself to die for our sins, and he's offering himself as the escape from the judgment that we deserve, not only from the standpoint of the judgment that'll fall on the earth, but eternal judgment that'll fall upon a Christ rejecter. And so, friend, I hope today that as we talk about these prophetic things, you have prepared for the day of coming judgment, and that you can look forward to a day when, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you will be in heaven by his grace. I hope you have faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson today, to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all who are listening today. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.